I just realised I haven't even like opened or looked at my notes at all.
Well, that's a good start. Let's leave sure that is. In so people know how seriously we take this.
We take it extremely seriously. We already tried to record this episode once and my internet crapped out, and so we're now having to start again.
Yeah, that's the most serious you can be about something.
What, trying a second time when you fail once?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read at the Movies.
Yeah, Poorly Read at the Picture Square. I think I've made the joke before. Let's make a new one. Poorly Read at the drive-in movie theater. With women in roller skates selling popcorn and cigarettes. My two favorite things. Oh god, I kind of wish that was like true, because what a fucking like thing for someone, just like at like a party, someone's like, so what are like your favorite things? And first of all, you'd be like, what a stupid question.
Yeah,
but then your response yeah, like, is
what a question. What an opening question. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I don't know, it's a conversation starter maybe.
That's the kind of thing, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, they would have to be saying it in, like, an ironic kind of way for me to get on board. But if my answer was popcorn and cigarettes, baby, I think that's pretty swish.
Yeah, we just burst into the Sound of Music song.
Ugh. God, then both of us would be awful.
Yeah.
And that would mean that I'd probably be at a party that was just awful in general.
Well, you got to match the vibe of the night.
No.
No, I will go home.
Yeah. I will go home.
I know you will.
And I have done. I love a good French exit. But yeah, speaking of leaving when you shouldn't, what film are we talking about today, Tom?
We're talking about Back to the Future.
What's that in French?
Ah, man. I don't even know. Back to the Future. Because it's like a play on words that I don't know how to translate.
Yeah, and in French it would probably be like future, comma, back to the.
Yeah. Like, return to au retour de la future, maybe? But I don't know.
Oh, we could look at the Back to the Future French movie poster.
Yeah, I wonder what it was called. I bet it wasn't called that.
No, I bet it was called, like, Marty and the Doc. I think you were right, actually.
I don't know. Sort of. I just got my little sentence builder words wrong.
Retour vers le futur.
Vers le futur. I also got the gender of the noun future wrong. I thought it was feminine, but it's masculine.
That's because words don't have fucking genders.
I know. So fucking dumb. Yeah, we're like one of the only languages in the world that doesn't do that.
Well, like, out of the Romance languages, but then what about all the other ones?
Well, non-European ones, I guess, are different. I don't think, like, Asian languages do. But, like, Slavic languages do. They fuck with it. Like, Polish has gendered verbs as well as nouns. Just fuck.
I just can't see the point.
I know.
God, I wish that well, I don't know, whatever that language you said, like, was, like, El Dorado or something like that.
Oh, Esperanto.
That's it, yeah. I wish that had taken off.
El Dorado.
Anyway, fucking, yeah, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
With Martin McFly.
Yeah, Martin McFly.
Fucking Michael J. Fox. I had to really think then. I was like, who the fuck plays him?
Yeah, but it was originally Eric, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Eric Ginger.
Eric McGinger, heart stabby needle.
Yes, Eric McGinger. I was in Anaconda and played a serial killer in Grey's Anatomy.
Was he in Anaconda?
Yeah, he was the guy who got his throat slit open and the bug flew out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And he was also, we think, the guy from Pulp Fiction. Which we are sure, but now I'm saying it, I'm still a little bit unsure that it was him, but it was him.
It was him. I have googled it since you told me that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you know why? It's just because in every other time I've seen him, he's always been quite like fit, and in Pulp Fiction, he's very like kind of like lanky looking, and he's got long hair in Pulp Fiction, which he doesn't in everything else I've seen him in. So I was just like 5% of me was like unsure. But yeah, he's had a wonderful career.
A wonderful career.
Yes. Anyway, fucking hell, Back to the Future. I liked it until the very end, in which I thought the very end was stupid, contrived, and not worth my time.
Yeah, just the very end though, right? When Doc comes back and is like, it's your kids, just like the sequel setup you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everything before that was cool. Like, I was like, oh yeah, cool, I'm on board.
It's probably a marketing thing. They just wanted to get people hyped for the next film in like 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, I reckon that the film was finished and someone's like, we've been greenlit for the second one, so we need to go back in and record this new ending. And everyone's like, but why? We need to preserve the art of the original movie, blah, blah, blah. And then Mr. Money was like, well, contractually, you're obligated. So it's either you go back on set or we sue you and your career in Hollywood is over.
Yeah, you'll never work in this town again.
Yes, which is what kind of happened. Not that situation, but so the guy who plays his dad, Crispin Glover, he didn't sign on for the sequel, but he appears in the diner in like a... There's a bit in the sequel where Marty goes in the diner and sees his dad again. But is it his dad or is it like his... a future relative that looks like his dad or something? But Crispin Glover wouldn't sign on for the sequel, so they made like a latex thing to put it on someone, because it isn't like a proper shot, it's just sort of like him from the side. And so Crispin Glover like sued the studio for using his likeness without his permission. And like, it's a really like iffy idea to sue when you're like an actor, to like sue a studio, because you're very, very much risking blacklisting you yourself.
Yeah,
that is kind of what happened to him. Like, he has had a career, but it kind of fucked him over for a long time, because as an actor, you're kind of just meant to take whatever shit is thrown at you and like deal with it. Like, look what, you know, women had to put up with before the Me Too movement happened, you know, like. And if you didn't let them touch you this way or fucking rape you, then you might not have a career. So, you know, there was a lot of things that you just like let slide because you had to. But he didn't, and it did mess about his career a little bit. Anyway, fucking hell, we opened on a clock shop. Well, it's not a clock shop. Looks like a clock shop.
But it's just a house full of clocks.
Yeah, clock shop.
Doc's clocks.
Doc's clocks clock shop. I like clocks, colon, dogs, clocks, clock shop.
Where the big hand meets the little hand.
But I seen like brackets underneath it. And he's like, oh, it's like the perfect title. I think I'm going to sell so many clocks, Marty. And Marty's like, no, man, everyone wants a Casio. And he's like, ah, yes, this is 1986. 1985, is it? I don't know.
It's 1985.
Anyway, so fucking clocks and we have like the weird Felix clocks and other clocks. I mean, how creative can you get with a clock?
Yeah, and there's a newspaper headline that we don't quite understand about Brown Mansion having been destroyed.
I don't know when Brown Mansion ever becomes a thing again.
No, me neither. But plutonium was also stolen, and that does become a thing.
Professor Plutonium accidentally added an extra ingredient. Chemical X. Anyway, fucking, plutonium is missing from a nuclear facility nearby. And they think it's terrorist bandits who have been stealing plutonium to bomb things.
The terrorist bandits. You know how they love bomb things.
Yeah. Bomb things as in, like, blowing up stuff. Not stuff that's really cool.
Not stuff that's like the bomb. Or I guess they think that bombing things is the bomb.
They probably do. But Marty arrives, he kicks open the clock shop door, he's like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, oh god, I forgot I'm afraid of clocks.
Yeah, why did I come to the clock shop? This isn't a clock shop.
But no, it's not a clock shop, it's just Doc's a little hidey hole.
It's just Doc's clocks.
Yeah. He has so many clocks, and they're all telling different times. Or the same time, it's the wrong time. It's like 25 minutes earlier.
Yeah, I can't quite remember what that's about.
Yeah, I can't remember either. Maybe Doc just loves being fucking really on time for shit.
He just loves fucking with time.
Yeah.
It's his whole deal, isn't it?
And Doc isn't there. And there's a note on the floor and it says, Marty, I'm not always there when you call, but I'm always on time.
Look at all my clocks.
Yeah, and Marty's like, oh, I feel like I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember that when I go Back to the Future 2. And Marty plugs in his fucking guitar.
He plugs in his guitar just to rock out because he's a cool dude.
Rock out with his cock out.
Yeah, and we need a little scene to establish that he's a cool rock and roll dude who plays guitar, so this is it.
Yeah, and he plugs it in and it blows him across the room.
And he's like, speaker, not here.
Yes. Sorry, you're not a speaker at all. You're actually a tied up hooker. I'm sorry. I really should have asked before I put this coil up your nostril and my feelings in your mouth. Also, are you okay? You seem to be bleeding profusely.
So he gets blown across the room.
Yeah, by a big amplifier.
Yes. And he's like, dude, rock and roll, bruh. Yeah,
tubular. Tubular bells. Tubular balls. Can that be my expression for things now?
What, tubular bars?
Yeah. Ah, oh, mate. That's tubular bars. Oh, God. And yeah, he manages to retain his hearing by the magic of movies.
Yeah.
Which we call movie magic.
He would have no ears left.
He would have no head left.
Yeah. No skin.
Yeah.
His skin and all his muscles would just be ripped from his skeleton.
But yeah, the phone rings and Marty answers and Doc says, Marty, meet me at the Twin Pines Mall parking lot at 1:50 a.m. And then Marty's like, cool. And then the Doc says, what do my clocks say? And Marty's like, I don't know, like, bring ding 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 ding. And he's like, no, you're thinking of that weird frog thing.
You're thinking of the crazy frog song, Marty. They're quite similar, though. It's fine.
But yeah, like, the clocks are the wrong time. So Marty's late for school. So he goes to school and he'd get caught for being late.
Yes, and he has a sexy 80s girlfriend.
Yeah, the big hair and her blonde. I was going to say blonde skin. That'd be weird. That'd be like you fell in some, like, sawdust while you were covered in axle grease and then, like, climbed out. Everyone's like, you've got blonde skin.
It's a very specific notion of how you might get your skin that colour. Anyway, his sexy 80s girlfriend with her blonde skin is walking with him in through the halls of the school.
Yeah.
And then some teacher comes up to him and tells him, you'll never amount to anything, McFly. You're like your old man.
Yeah, and then he kisses him, almost. But they touch noses, the teacher and him. And I'm like, oh, just kiss him already. I can tell you want to do it. And he wants it.
He does.
But they don't kiss. He's just like, get out of here. And Mike's like, fine, I'm going to do the Battle of the Bands audition that happens to be in our school auditorium, and I'm going to win. So he goes up there and he plays.
I know what song it was, but I can't remember.
Was it Sound of the Underground?
Yeah. I think it was Biology.
Oh my god, of course it was. And they were like, sorry, it's too scientific. Also, this is three songs in one. And I'm not ready for it yet.
But your kids are going to love it.
Yes. Your kids are assholes.
We need a sequel, Marty.
No, the guy is too loud. Get off my stage and take your mother with you. He's like, oh, fine. So he takes his guitar and wheels his mother off stage. She's like, I thought you did great, Marty. He's like, thanks, Ma. I thought you'd be my good luck charm. She's like, I'm sorry. Ever since the accident, I just don't get out much. I thought my wishes would get you through, but obviously they didn't.
Also, it's given me a Cockney accent.
And he's like, Ma, I'm going to take you into the bathroom and put you in the disabled cubicle. And I'm going to put duct tape around your mouth and then lock the door. Are you okay with that? She's like, whatever you want, Marty. So he takes her there, leaves her there, and then sets fire to it. She's very crispy. Glover.
Crispy Glover.
Anyway, him and his girl go out for lunch, and he's like, man, I'm never gonna be anything. I'm never gonna be anybody. I'm never gonna be something. The girlfriend's like, don't think like that, man. You're gonna go to a record label and you're gonna get a record deal. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm just gonna be a loser like the guy who did this film 6 weeks before me. And she's like, no, man, try really hard. I believe in you, like Kylie Minogue. And he's like, who? She's like, don't worry about it. And then some woman comes along and she's like, oh, save the clock tower. They're gonna tear it down, but it's a historical landmark. He got struck by lightning 25 years ago, and it hasn't worked since. And she shakes her rattling collection pot at them, and they take
and they're like, please, put it away.
Yes.
What, your rattling collection pot in my face?
Yeah. Your nickel-covered labial folds. Why'd you keep your pennies there? It's not sanitary.
It's got cockles on it.
Oh god, you always say something that like puts the most disgusting image in my mind that makes my skin go goosebumpy. Anyway, his girlfriend gives her grandma's number, and she's like, I'm staying at my grandma's house, give me a call. She goes home.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it's relevant that she's staying at her grandma's house. I guess it's just so that she can write him a note.
Yeah, because it says 555-1234, I love you. That sounds like a German like pug song from around that time.
Sounded like a rhyme you were going to do, like you were going to do a fourth line that rhymed with four.
Well, if you want me to, so. 555-1234, I love you, and you love me more because I'm your... Oh, God, what's something that's not offensive? I don't know, schnitzel, there we go. Because I am your schnitzel and you eat me good, just like... my mother would. But not my dad, because he is dead. He fought in the war. Oh, the bloodshed. He was on the wrong side, as you can see. Oh, look around. He was a Nazi. Boop, boop. But I'm not, just to be clear. So come a little closer, have no fear. I like you, even though you're a... Oh god. Anyway, he gets home and Biff's dad, not Biff's dad, I made that same mistake last time. It's probably because I wrote it.
Yeah, just Biff. Just regular old Biff is being an absolute Biff.
Yeah, to Marty's dad.
Yeah,
Biff is his supervisor at work, but Biff totaled a car he borrowed off of Marty's dad.
Yeah, he borrowed Marty's dad's car and then wrecked it, and now he's like blaming Marty's dad for being like, you didn't tell me there was a blind spot and all that, and his dad's just a little fucking soy boy beta cuck, as I've written in my notes.
Yeah. He is there, he's like, you're right, Biff.
Yes.
You just bend me over and pull my pants down. I've already greased myself with some butter.
My name's Crispin.
Cover me in baker foil and enter my hot oven. But don't wear a glove. On your penis, I mean. I want to feel it when you ejaculate inside. And he's like, oh, it's no fun if you like it. And then he leaves. And Marty just sees his dad, like, waddling like a penguin with his pants around his ankles, screaming, Biff, no, come back! Oh. I guess I had to finish myself off. Oh, my son's home. Hey!
You can finish me off.
Yeah. How about we have a little Crispin time? Oh, bringing out the Frylight. Anyway, but no. He's like, oh, Dad. So that night, they have dinner, and the mum is like, oh, we need to eat Uncle Joel's parole cake, because he didn't make parole again. Anyway, and then mum says... the dad is watching, like, some fucking old-timey show on the TV and, like, laughing, like, too much. He's enjoying it too much and even fucking wound me up. And I was like, ugh. And the mum is looking at him with such, like, derision. And she's like, oh, well, I never would have met your dad if he hadn't been hit by Grandpa's car.
Yeah.
I don't know why she suddenly switched into, like, a Boston accent.
Yeah, she was Cockney a minute ago.
And then she was like, yeah, then we went to the dance the night of that terrible thunderstorm. That's when we fell in love, and that's when I knew I was gonna be with him for the rest of my goddamn life. She fucking sighs. And she's quite plump as well, and it's just the impression that she just, like, let go of the will to live many eons ago.
Many, many eons ago. Yeah. In a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, where's that from? Is that Star Wars?
Yeah.
Star Wars. I ain't seen any of the most recent ones. Anyway, Marty goes to meet Doc at the parking lot.
He sure does.
And the Doc reverses out of a truck in The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Speaking of Star Wars.
Isn't that what it's called? No, it's the DeLorean, isn't it's just it? The DeLorean, sorry, yeah. I literally wrote The Mandalorian. How let's get it started in here was that? The Doc reverses out of a truck in the DeLorean.
Yeah. And he tells
to be fair, the only, like, all you got to do is just, like, put, like, man on the front of that, and it's the same word, so... you can see where my confusion
is. I could see where you were. I could see exactly where you went wrong, mate, and I totally understand.
So he gives this massive JVC camcorder to Marty, and he's like, film this experiment with my dog in the car.
And yeah.
He's like, oh, God.
Yes. So that's the dog. He's like, all right, now we're ready to put the dog in the car.
I just wanted to simulate what you're going to hear on the microphone, Marty. Now I know it's not going to cause peak amplification. I think we're ready to roll. And he's like, I don't want to film this. He's like, you're going to film it, Marty. Don't think I don't know what you did to my hooker earlier. And he's like, go. It's okay, I didn't tell anyone, Doc. And he's like, I know you didn't. Because if you did, you wouldn't be standing here right now. I tell you that, Marty. Anyway... The fucking experiment is not explained until after it's happened. When the car whizzes across the parking lot and hits 88 miles per hour, it disappears.
Yes, and then a minute later, it reappears. So he put the dog in the car and synced up their clocks. He put a stopwatch around the dog's neck, and he has one. Synced them up, fired the car off at 88 miles an hour, and then a minute later, it comes back. Still reading the same time, meanwhile the Doc's clock has advanced by a minute, and he's like, it's time travel, Marty!
It's time travel, Marty! Means I can have sex twice as much. With the dog, of course.
Yeah, not with those filthy hookers.
Yes, there's no more left.
Yeah.
Anyway, so fucking over, he says, yes, I had the idea in 1955, and it's taken me this long to build the flux capacitor.
The flux capacitor, Marty?
Yeah. He could flux my capacitor. Anyway, the car runs on plutonium, and that's where the missing plutonium had gone.
He scammed it off some Libyan nationalists.
He's like, I forgot to bring extra plutonium. And just then, the terrorists show up in their little van.
Yeah, I mean, and they're literally like cartoon comic strip terrorists.
Yeah, they are the cartoon terrorists. Whoa, they've come to get their chemicals.
Yeah. Like, they might as well be out of a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Yeah. I wish Scooby-Doo was here.
He'd solve this mystery.
Yeah. He'd be like...
At the very least, he'd make me a sandwich.
Oh, I'd have a sandwich.
No, you wouldn't. You were telling me you hated sandwiches last time.
Yes, I know what I said, and I stand by that, but... If it was made in like an American way with like...
What you want is one of those big cartoon Scooby-Doo sandwiches, right?
Yeah, I don't want your little gay sandwich.
Oof.
Oh, God. So then Marty jumps into the... the doc gets shot. And he's like, oh, fuck, I've been shot. And what does Marty say, Tom?
He doesn't stick around to hear the rest of it. He's off with the DeLorean.
But he does hear the terrorist. Hey, could anybody just stop getting shot? Shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, he jumps in the DeLorean.
Yes, which Doc has just put a fresh bit of plutonium in.
Yeah, fresh bit of plutonium.
Real fresh plutonium.
Yeah, put some fresh plutonium in me.
I only wondered if it's fresh.
Yeah, that scientist having sex. They get those glow-in-the-dark condoms. And she's in there like, oh, yes, the plutonium must go into the reactor. I put it in now. Put it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I'm so tired. You got to take it out again and rotate it and then put it back. Scientists, aren't they crazy?
Oh, those wacky scientists. Always putting stuff in each other's butts.
So yeah, Marty fucking drives away and then he accidentally hits 88 miles per hour. And the car clock was set to November 5th, 1955 because Vidocq had just put that in because he was like, that's when I first thought of the idea for the flux capacitor because I fell on the bathroom toilet and hit my head and just had the idea. So he arrives in the past and he crashes in a barn.
Yeah, why is he wearing that stupid suit?
Because it was protecting from the plutonium and they were handling it.
Oh yeah, that was it.
So he doesn't go radioactive and become radioactive man.
Up and at them.
But yeah, so the car's run out of juice, so he needs to hide it behind a billboard. So yeah, he fucking walks around the neighbourhood and the clock tower is working. And he goes into a coffee place and he sees his dad.
Yeah, he goes up. Yeah, so at first he looks up. He wants to look up the doc in the phone book. But the guy's like, you know, that phone's for paying customers only. And then he asks for a Coke free. And the guy's like, no, you want a Coke? You got to pay for it. And it's like, oh, we're at a different time.
Yeah, I didn't know that Coke, like the Diet Coke, was called Coke Free once upon a time.
Me neither.
But I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, there's a black man sweeping the floor. And then the black man's like, do you know what? You can be anything you want to be in this world, blah, blah. And then Marty's like, yeah, like, you're going to be mayor.
You're going to be mayor. I've seen it.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, the owner's like, ha, a colored mayor of Toontown? I don't think so. Now, finish sweeping this broom and do me a tap dance.
We're in the past, Marty.
Yeah, we're in 1955. We're 9 years away from civil rights. He can't even vote. Anyway, that's when Biff comes in.
Yeah, and we have a scene similar to the one where he was poking and punching and generally jibing at Marty's dad earlier.
Yeah, he's like, where is my homework, Crispin Glover? And he's like, and he's like, you know, I don't like it when you speak computer at me.
You nerd.
Yeah, you fucking nerd. Also, what's a computer?
Teach me, I really want to know.
Yeah, you said it once in one of the bits of homework you wrote for me, and I was like, I don't even know what that is. So if the teacher fucking asked me, what am I going to say?
Didn't think about that, did you, McFly? Hello?
Yeah, he punches him, fucking breaks his nose. He's like, you do that again, I'll fucking tear off your bars, strap them to your forehead, and, I don't know, probably feel instant regret, sew them back on, and spend the rest of the night trying to make it up to you, baby.
It's not my fault, baby. But you know how you push
sometimes
me.
Sometimes I get these feelings. Sometimes I just see red and I do bad things. You understand what I'm saying, Crispin?
Oh, yeah, sure, Biff.
Yeah, sure, Biff. But I'll get your homework to you tomorrow. He's like, I know you will, babe. Make sure you wear the red dress I like. Anyway, he sort of goes to find the dog, but he sees his dad No, he goes to find his old house just to, like, see. And he sees his dad in a tree, spying on his mum, getting undressed.
He follows his dad. He like, chases him there.
That's it.
Yeah, because he's like, no, wait, you're my dad. I need to follow you and talk to you more.
Yes, I need to put my plutonium in your reactor. I need to complete the circle. Peeping Tom dad falls out the tree, almost gets hit by Grandpa Marty's car, but Marty pushes his dad out the way, and he gets hit by the car.
Yeah, he gets hit by the car instead, and then his mom comes out to tend to him, and Marty gets all flustered by his mom boner.
That doesn't he suddenly just gets. Wake up in his mom's room?
Oh yeah, that's probably it.
Sorry, Tom. I won't allow you to make jokes that are factually
inaccurate. Yeah. All I've written is he's flustered by how hot his mom is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she is quite hot in that 1950s kind of way.
Yeah, totally. Wish she was my mom.
Oh God! But yeah, he wakes up in a room and he's like, "Oh God, what?" And the mom's like, "Oh God, I rescued you, Calvin." Blah, blah. And he's like, "Why are you calling me Calvin?" And she's like, "Cause it's on your pants. I mean, your underwear, Calvin Klein." And it's like, funny.
We're in a different time, Marty.
Yes, before the invention of underwear. Men just wore jars around their penises, strapped it up with some rope, and hoped for the best.
Could hear them clanking down the street all day long.
Yeah, that's why the cool kids were called the clankers.
See them in the playground clanking their jars together?
Yeah. And then the clankettes had that hit song, Clank Clank on My Jank. They were like, he went clank clank on my jank, and then he gave me a massive spank, and then I went, ooh, that doesn't feel good, and he said, ooh, it should. Clank, brought to you by mayonnaise. Anyway, fuck you, though. He says, look, can I get directions to this address? And then they're like, sure, it's left of the highway and down Route 66. And on the left-hand side, you'll see a big house. It looks like a fish. And then you knock on the fish door, and then you'll be there. And he's like, that's exactly what I wanted. Thank you so much.
The fish door, yes, thank you. Of course.
Yeah, fish door, Route 66. Anything else I need to know? No. Just make sure you take a sandwich with you. And he's like, why? And he's like, because you won't be able to get in without a sandwich. You need to make an offering to the fish king.
fishes love sandwiches.
Yeah, just make sure it's not sardines on toast.
Yeah.
They don't like that. So he goes to the doc's house, and he gets in there, and then the doc's like, who the fuck are you? But let me read your mind.
Yeah.
Then my machine does not work. So he's like, fuck, I'm a useless doc. So he bangs his head against the wall and he starts bleeding. Then Maya's like, oh no, Doc. Don't.
Bad Doc. Whacking himself over the head with a lamp.
Yeah. And he's like, no, Doc, don't. You're going to smash your clank jar.
Don't want to crack your clank jar. Every little boy knows that.
And he's like, I can't afford a clank jar. And then he's like, so what do you use? He's like, I just put it in an open can of tuna. Oh man, there's just so much fish here. Yeah. Like, of course it's 1955, you know, the great fish boom. And they're like, what? Anyway, he's like, look, Doc, he basically explains everything to him, and the doc's like, fuck off.
Yeah. 1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah, that's impossible. The only thing that can do that is a bolt of lightning. And he's like, no, there's this thing in the future called plutonium. And he's like, no, you fucking liar. And then he says, no, Doc, listen, you've got the idea for the flux capacitor and you fell on your head in the toilet and blah, 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 blah.
You fell in the toilet, remember?
Yeah, fell in the toilet. I mean, you flushed it. And then your eyeballs came out.
Who said that?
But yeah, he shows the doc the video from his camcorder.
Yeah, and he's like, nobody, don't show me the video. You can't. I can't see things that happen in the future. I can change destiny and all of this.
Yeah. and I can't generate 1.2 gigawatts of electricity to get you home. The only thing that could do that is a bolt of lightning. The Mighty remembers the clock tower being hit by a bolt of lightning, and the doctor's like, oh, we need to be there the time that happens, and that'll get you back.
Yes, we need to set up a contraption across the street, and we'll trigger the lightning bolt at exactly 10:04 next Saturday night. Not we'll trigger the lightning bolt, the lightning bolt will happen at exactly 10:04 next Saturday night.
Anyway, so they're like, that's it. The doc's like, look, have you done anything that might have fucked things up forever since you've been here? And Marty's like, I kind of ruined the meeting of my parents. So he's like, you must try and get them back together.
You got to get them back together, Marty. Great Scott.
Yeah. He must put the plutonium in a capacitor.
Yeah, he's got to flux a capacitor. In and out, back and forth, Marty, again and again.
So he goes to the higher school to try and get them to meet. And to be honest, I was really impressed with, like, his attempts at trying to get them to meet, because they don't feel, like, ridiculous. They're, like, quite smooth attempts, I find, but just Crispin Glover can never seem to make it impactful because the mum is so taken with Marty.
Yeah, because Marty was the one that ended up getting hit by his dad's car and that she nursed back to health.
Yeah, Marty was the one who he got hit by the car and got nursed back to health. What happens next?
Marty makes loads of attempts to get his mum and dad back together.
Yes. He even tried just putting a hose over his dad's clank jar and putting up his mum's skirt while they were in the same class and just turning on the suction, but alas.
All it does is inflate her labia.
Yes, and suck the jar right off him, taking his testicles with him. And then Marty just disappears because his dad has no more balls.
Really fucked that one up, didn't you, Marty?
Yeah. Back to the Future 2. Someone else needs to rescue Marty. But why bother? Yeah, I am. No, he breaks into his dad's house the next, like, night and poses as like, a Martian because his dad's really into sci-fi. And he says, you must ask her out or I will suck out your brains with my spluk block. And then the next day, the dad does?
Yeah.
Or the dad goes to...
He goes to ask her out of the diner.
And then, but Biff comes in and tries to start on him. And then Marty, like, punches Biff.
Yeah, Marty steps in. And then there's a whole chase outside and he steals a kid's scooter and rips the front off and turns it into a skateboard.
Was there a scooter or a box of, or was it like a crate of apples with wheels on?
It was a primitive form of a scooter.
Right.
With some sort of weird box on the front, I don't know.
Okay. No, just because I remember the kids holding apple crates and being like, wow. And I was like, oh, is that what you meant? Because I missed the whole bit where he got the skateboard. I just kind of blinked and he was on the skateboard. And I was like, oh, he got a skateboard.
Yeah, well, the kids, because there was a couple of kids on those things and they were like riding on them like scooters, I think.
Right. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's how I'm going to talk from now on. Okay, so, Marty. No, don't do that. Don't do a podcast with anyone who talks like that. Oh, God. But yeah, this like, little bit of tomfoolery makes his mum fall for him even more. She's like, oh, isn't he just dreamy? And then her dad comes in and then he's like, if I told you once, I've told you a million times, but obviously I'm not getting through to you, so there's only one thing left to try. And she's like, daddy, no. And he's like, I'm sorry, but you left me no choice. And he takes out his trident and he blasts all her Marty McFly toys. And she's like, Daddy, no, stop.
And then she sings a sad little song and gives her soul to a squid.
Yes. And Marty McFly still doesn't want it. He's like, you're my mom. It's not better if you can't talk, it's worse. Also, why is there so much fucking seafood in this film? Anyway, so he goes back to the dock and says, look. And then the doc says, if we run a cable from the clock tower to a cable between two lampposts and we put this, like, tram-like rod thing on the top of your car as you pass underneath it when the lightning strikes, it will generate the gigawatts to get you home.
The gigawatts, Marty.
And then his mum comes to visit him and the dogs and asks him to the dance.
Yeah. George is cute and all, but a man should be strong. Like you, Marty. You stole that scooter right from that little kid.
Yeah. You've got guts, chutzpah, and a predisposition to Parkinson's disease. That's what I look for in a man. He's like... But yeah, Marty comes up with a plan for his dad to interrupt him trying to grope his mum and to, like, save her from him. And he's like, if you do this while I'm in the car with her at the dance, she'll fall for you because she can see how brave you are. Because she doesn't seem like the kind of girl who, you know, likes to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, because he remembers her, like, back in the future saying, like, you know, saying stuff like being a bit, like, I don't know, prudish and, like, disapproving of...
Yeah, he'd be at the table and say, oh, I really want to fucking pound that cunt. And his mum would be like, don't you try that at my table. Can't you see I'm making a parole cake? That's the kind of talk that got your Uncle Joe in jail. Anyway, so he thinks, my mum's a prude if I try and grope her. And then dad comes along and says, hey, don't you grope her like that. And saves her. She'll fall in love for him. And it'll be love at first sight. Like Kylie Minogue.
Anyway, Marty's super surprised when he takes his mom to the dance.
Tom's put his fingers to his head, which is how I know when Tom is growing tired of my insolence.
Your insolence.
Oh, God. Yeah, they get the car ready.
But yeah, Marty gets there, and it turns out his mom, like, drinks and smokes and is totally DTF.
Yeah. And then she kisses him in the car. And then she's like, something's wrong. Kissing you feels like kissing my brother. And then he's like, I know exactly what you mean. Kissing you feels like kissing my mother.
Let's keep doing it.
Yeah, let's keep doing it and pretend like it's fine. She's like, okay. But only if we can film it. He's like, I got a camcorder. She's like, what's that?
So, wait, what were you talking about? You know, film it.
You know, it's when I glaze your face. Oh, that's gross. Fuck it out.
Then you peel it all off like a film.
Yeah. We used to call it PVA in, but, you know, now that means something else. What? Penis, vagina, asshole.
Where do you think PVA glue comes from?
In the future, it should be called truffle butter. Anyway, so Biff arrives and punches Marty and throws him to his cronies and gets in the car with his mom.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, what do we have here?" And starts getting all horrible.
Yeah, like frisky, but in a bad way.
Yes, in the baddest way. Yeah. Like Michael Jackson.
And he knows it.
Yeah, it's Shyamalan.
Yeah. And the cronies take Marty and put him in the trunk of the band's car.
As far as they know, just a random car.
Yeah.
And then the band gets out.
Yeah. And they're all black and scary. Yeah. But no, they're like,
they're all black, and the guys are like, whoa, we don't want to mess with no reefer addicts.
Yeah, and then the guy's like, what the fuck did you say? And then they, like, chase the guys down. But then they go back to the car, and they hear Marty in the trunk, but the guy's like, I don't know where my keys are. Then Marty's like, yeah, your keys are in here. So they have to use, like, a screwdriver to pry open the trunk, and the guitarist damages his hands in the process. Then he's like, I can't play in the fucking band. Then they're like, what can we do? Then Marty's like, oh, I play guitar.
Yeah.
So he goes on with them.
He goes on with them, but not before George steps into the spotlight.
George!
A.K.A. Crispin. Steps into the spotlight for his moment, where he thinks he's going to find Marty frisking up whatever her name is, Lorraine.
Is that her name?
Lorraine Kelly.
Yeah. She's like, oh, don't touch me, Bakewell pies.
Oh, dear, Biff.
Oh, God. But yeah, he opens the door expecting to find Marty and sees Biff. And Biff's like, get the fuck out of here, loser. And George, like, does think about just getting the fuck out there. But then he's like, I've had enough of you, Biff, and the way that you bath. And so Biff's like, what did you say about my bath? And he's like, I said, I've had enough of it. And then he's like, you ain't even seen me bath yet, motherfucker. And he's like, well, okay, show me. And then Biff's like, okay, turn around and pull out your butter. Okay, here's the butter. And he's like, oh, I'm going to grease you up real good. You better get used to this.
And then, bath.
Yeah. He goes, bish, bash, bath. And then plunges in. And then Lorraine Kelly's like, oh, I've never seen someone take it like such a champ. So after Biff is finished, she's like, oh, I'm so impressed with that. And George's like, yeah, I did it all for you. I think I need a hospital. Why, dear? I think I've prolapsed.
My capacitor. It's overfluxed.
And I've smashed my clank jar. But no, like, he just basically, like, when Biff tells him to fuck off, he says, no, I've had enough of your shit, Biff.
Bangs him out.
Yeah. Then he's like, should we go to the dance together? And then Lorraine Kidd is like, yes. So they go.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey. You know, I'm from here and there, you know. Oh, be careful, it's a drive-by fruiting. And so they end up at the dance, and Marty's
playing guitar.
Yeah. And then George / Crispin starts to dance with the mother, but then another guy steps in, and then Marty, like, falls down and looks at his hand, and it's starting to disappear. And he's like, oh, they haven't had their first kiss yet. So George, like, this was weird because George goes to walk away, and then he just has, like, a change of heart and goes back and says, no, she's mine. And he, like, pushes the guy over and then grabs the mum. And I was like, that should have been a moment where George's walking away. He sees Marty, and then Marty, like, says something like, George, you gotta go back. And then George is like, yeah. And then, like, plucks up the courage and then goes back.
Yeah,
then,
or, like, you know, because Marty was playing guitar on stage at that moment.
He wasn't, though. He was on the floor at that moment.
Yeah, because he's, like, he's on the floor not playing at that moment, but he has a guitar, and, like, if he's playing the music at that point, and if there had been some sort of musical link between Lorraine and George established earlier, maybe Marty could work that in on the guitar as George is working away and he hears it or something like that.
Oh, that'd have been nice. Yeah. If he was like, dun, 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 dun. And then he's like, yeah, I do want to be her lover. And I do want to get with her friends. And so George goes back and kisses his mum, and Marty recovers.
Yeah, and then the band gets an encore.
Yeah. And then he does this famous song that I've never heard of.
What, Johnny Be Good?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I don't know who John Barry is either.
Neither do I.
That's the guy. Well, because the guy who calls his cousin... Oh, I suppose he wouldn't have the same surname as his cousin, would he? Just because the guy you call says, hi, it's your cousin something Barry. You know that new sound you were looking for? Listen to this. Yeah, so I just sort of assumed that his name was John. Because he says, hi, John, it's your cousin something Barry. So I was, must be John Barry. But yeah, I don't know who sings that song then.
No, it's Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. Oh, maybe he said Barry and not Barry.
Maybe
then.
That is what he said, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe he says that. Maybe I got so swept up in the moment that I rearranged all the names in that scene.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Anyway, so yeah, and then
he starts to get a bit carried away.
Yeah.
Starts doing the fucking
crazy guitarist.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I guess you're not ready for that. So he runs off stage, he runs into his mum. His mum's like, oh, get off me tits. He's like,
I guess you're not ready for that either. But your kids are gonna love it.
And his mum says is that George is going to take her home. And he's like, good, but I'm running late. So Miley's running late for the lightning strike. And he makes it back and tells the doc about his dad standing up to Biff. So he says, Miley, get in the car and fucking drive. Then he puts his hands in his pocket.
Fucking drive, motherfucker.
Yeah, so he puts his hands in his pocket and then the other one is smoking a cigarette. And then he finds a note. And then he's like, ah, fucking, she makes it into every fucking episode, didn't she? Fucking date, bitch.
She's interdimensional time traveler.
Yeah. She's like, it's like going back in time when you're in the front. It's like kissing your mother and maybe feeling like God. Oh, God. Anyway, Doc finds a note in his pocket, and it's one that Marty wrote earlier warning Doc of being shot at by the Libyans.
Yeah.
And Doc's like, no, nothing about the fucking future.
Don't tell me anything about the future, Marty.
And he rips it up into a million pieces. And then a tree falls and breaks the cable connections that have been set up for the lightning strike. But yeah, so Marty dials the car in to go back 10 minutes earlier than when he left.
Yes.
So, because he's like, I want to get there in time to warn the doc. But the car won't fucking start. But then it does start.
Yeah, it's all just like inconsequential tension building. Let's make the final scene a bit bigger kind of.
I mean,
but
it does. I was like on the edge of my seat. I was like, fucking.
Yeah, I mean, it does. They needed to. They couldn't just be like, yeah, then Marty gets in the car and the experiment goes perfectly. It's like, they've got to throw some extra shit in there. Oh, the cable breaks. Oh, the car won't start. Oh, but then it does start. Oh, but then the doc fixes the cable. Yeah, all right, fine. Get on with it.
But yeah, no, I was here for it. But yeah, the doc, like the cable breaks and the doc manages to plug it in just in time. Then Marty arrives back in the future. But the car won't start. That's it, because he goes back to the future, but he goes back and arrives on the street that he left on. So he needs to drive to the parking lot of the Twin Pines Mall, but the car won't start, so he needs to run there. And so he gets there, and the Libyans have already shot Doc. And he's like, fuck! Oh, man, fuck! Fuck me in my fucking crank hole with your crank jar and your plutonium and everything, man. Just put it in there. Bish, bash, bath. And he's crying.
Let me squat down on your crank jar and then I'll clench too hard.
Yeah.
Make myself a viral video.
Yeah. Oh, don't tell me that is a viral video.
Don't tell
me it anymore, because I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know. Okay.
So much blood.
Oh, fuck off, Tom. Look. Now I'm all goose pimply again. But yeah, so he goes to the doc's body, and then the doc's wearing a bulletproof vest. And then he's like, but I thought you didn't want to know anything about the future. And then he takes out the... No, or he says like, what? And then the doc takes out the note that Marty left him, and it's all just like sellotaped back together.
Yeah, he's like, I thought, you know, what the hell?
Yeah, what the fuck? Who the fuck? What the clanker jar? What the fish? What the sardines on toast?
Why the fish?
Why the fish? Wow. If that is not like a fucking German new wave band. Why all my bands German? I don't know. Maybe I just like Roxette. The doc then says he's going 30 years into the future. And Marty says, look me up when you get there. And he's like, fuck no. Anyway, so Marty wakes up and goes downstairs, and his parents are cool and they're rich now.
Yes, and Biff is working for them.
Yeah, then a box comes for and...
and it's his girlfriend.
But yeah, it's a box with Dad's new book, because he's a sci-fi author now, because Marty had encouraged him in the past to, like, maybe, like, because... like maybe publish some of the stories he was writing, or at least let someone else read them.
Yeah,
you know. So they're rich, they have money because his dad's an author. He goes out to the garage, sees his awesome car there, his girlfriend shows up, they kiss, and then the doc shows up in the DeLorean. The doc says, we need to go back to the future, Miley, because your kids end up as assholes. And my point was, why not just like fix that in the present?
Yeah, why is your solution? I mean, he just fucking loves time travel, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He loves it like he loves fish.
Go to the future, go on a fucking VIX. Just tell Marty now, and Marty will be like, okay, I'll make sure I don't raise my kids as assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, fucking hell. I liked it. I thought it was alright. I thought it was alright apart from the ending. I will never watch it again just because I can't be arsed. But I might watch Back to the Future 2 at some point, I think.
Yeah, I feel the same.
And I might finally fucking watch like all of the third one because I never completed it because I thought it was shit. But maybe I should just watch it just to get the full set in my head, you know?
Yeah.
Well, join us next time for whatever film we do next, which we hope you enjoy.
Yes.
For some reason, all I can think about is cake right now. Fucking Uncle Joe's parole cake. I'm just like, oh, just give me a... Just give me some.
Gives it, Uncle Joe. Gives you cake.
Yeah.
Gives you parole cake. Gives
you fucking cake, Uncle Joe. Anyway, fucking hell. Without further ado, Ivan Gifton.
Nah, no, Ben Tom.
And Clank has been Clank.
There.